From the four corners of Southern California, this is The Hot Seat, and you're in it with me, Max Schwartz. It starts right now. Welcome to the spring semester of The Hot Seat. We're glad you are with us from the start, and we hope that you will be with us for what is sure to be an amazing semester. It will be amazing for several reasons. First, we are adjusted and completely moved into the new building, Wells Sandenberg Hall, which means I am able to start taping at the beginning of the semester. That means more episodes. Second, it is an election year for the city of Los Angeles. The Hot Seat will be interviewing candidates running to replace the termed-out Tom Labange in District 4, and we are also trying to schedule the two candidates running for the second district seat. Third, we are in the works of getting great guests lined up after all of the candidate interviews. As I mentioned, I am starting by interviewing all of the candidates running for the 4th District City Council seat, so I will be following my election protocol. All of the candidates will be asked the same questions, but one change is that I will be asking follow-up questions when I feel they are necessary. All of the interviews for a particular office will be published when all of the interviews for that office have been completed, so no candidate has an advantage by listening to one another's answers. That is why this and subsequent episodes were published a relatively long time after they were taped. One more note is that I have contacted all of the candidates running for both Districts 2 and 4. At the time this interview was taped, not all of the candidates had responded to my interview requests. Now that my introductions and notes are out of the way, we can get started. Without further ado, on the phone I have is the first candidate running for CD4 to call into the hot seat, Carolyn Ramsey. How are you, Ms. Ramsey? Thank you very much for taking the time to call into the hot seat.
Thanks, Max. I'm really happy to be on with you today.
Wonderful. Thank you. And I have several important questions and more total than I did for the candidates running for assessor. So without any additional delay, let's get started. Why did you decide to run for city council?
Well, I've been working in this district first as a community leader, then as a council aide to Councilmember Labange. I worked my way up from field deputy to communications director. I was the director of special projects and then chief of staff. I've also worked in this district as the Los Angeles program director for the Trust for Public Land. I have strong qualifications for this job.
We'll get into the qualifications in a moment, Ms. Ramsey. I can't let you stray off topic just yet. You can get into the qualifications after I ask the next two questions, which the first of which is...
But it relates to why I want to run. I'm running because I feel I'm the most qualified candidate to do this job. I have the endorsement of the incumbent and of many, many community leaders throughout the district.
Okay, and what is, out of all those occupations, what is your present occupation?
Well, I'm on leave from the council office while I work on my campaign.
And on leave, does that mean that after your campaign, if your bid happens to be unsuccessful in March, you'll go back?
If it is unsuccessful in March, will I go back? That's a great question. And I don't know the answer to that question. If I don't win in March, I don't know.
Okay.
That's a good question. I don't know. I haven't thought about that. I'm hopeful to get into the runoff.
And for full public disclosure, does being on leave mean you're still receiving public salary?
Absolutely not.
Okay. And you can go into your qualifications a little bit more here, but how do you believe you are qualified to be a city council member?
Well, having worked so closely with Councilmember Labange, who is committed to public service and is a leader on the city council in that regard, I've learned a tremendous amount about the district itself. I know every corner of the district. I've worked in every neighborhood in Council District 4, working to improve the communities and work with residents to address on-the-ground problems. I've rolled up my sleeves and been in the trenches with people solving all kinds of problems, traffic, crime, worked to limit overdevelopment, protect neighborhoods. I've been doing this for 15 years. So I feel as though I'm the most qualified person in the race.
Okay. And as you know from your experience with the 4th Council District, it is very diverse. If elected, how will you get to know each portion of the district and what is important to that specific region?
Well, I'll continue doing what I have been doing, Max. I will continue going to community meetings, meeting with folks, listening to them, working with them around the table to solve problems in their communities. And you're right, the district goes from Sherman Oaks and Toluca Lake through the Hollywood Hills from Franklin Canyon east to Silver Lake. And then it goes through Hollywood down to the Wilshire area. And we have the Wilshire area from Fairfax to Western and then roughly from Olympic up to Melrose. So it's a large district, 41 square miles. The whole city of San Francisco is 47 square miles by comparison.
And what will you do to satisfy all geographic regions of the district?
Well, continue what I have been doing. I work with people to identify what they want. You know, in Sherman Oaks, they wanted improvements to their park. So I was able to bring private investment and matched it with public dollars to improve the park in many ways. We're doing a $2.6 million soccer complex in Van Nuys Sherman Oaks Park. Councilmember Lavange and I worked together to put that funding together for that investment. In Griffith Park, I was the point person on Councilmember Lavange's staff on the 138-acre acquisition of Cahuenga Peak, which expanded Griffith Park and preserved the land next to the Hollywood sign, which was going to be junked up with McMansions. So what I do is I listen to the communities, work with them, and then figure out ways to bring private and public dollars together to make things, to make the solutions that the community and the city want work and happen.
Okay. And so what will you do if Sherman Oaks wants something, for example, but Toluca Lake or Hancock Park does not? How do you go about that situation?
Well, every neighborhood has different desires and needs. So there are a lot of different ways that you can tailor what we do to the specific neighborhood. For example, Hancock Park has a historic preservation overlay zone. So that has been, has historic status. So anyone who wants to remodel their home, they have to meet certain guidelines so that the historic character of that neighborhood as a whole is protected. Now, Sherman Oaks, there are other zoning measures that would limit the development, the scale and the scope of the development. But the feedback I get from folks there is they don't necessarily want historic status, but they want the scale of their neighborhoods protected. So we tailor our improvements to what the communities want. That happens all the time.
But for instance, if, say, Hancock Park or Los Feliz wanted you to vote one way on a measure and then the people of Toluca Lake wanted you to vote another way, what would you do and how would you decide which way to vote?
Well, I would take all issues into consideration. Are you talking about a citywide matter?
Yes.
Okay, so in a citywide issue dealing with the airport or the Los Angeles River, I would listen to all sides and then make an informed decision.
Based on what?
I would always listen to the communities, and if I did feel as though I had to vote my conscience and be a leader in one direction, I would be transparent about it and speak to the community leaders and tell them why I'm choosing the path I'm choosing.
You said make an informed decision, but make an informed decision based on what?
Based on on any matter of citywide importance, there will be reports made and studies done. There will be media on it. There will be experts in all areas commenting on it. That's the public process and how it plays out. So I would listen to all sides, do as much reading as I can, look at what other cities are doing in similar situations, identify the best practices, and move forward.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that. And we'll be right back after the music break with more from Carolyn Ramsey, council candidate for District 4.
Thank you, Max.
And we're back now with Carolyn Ramsey, city council candidate for District 4, running to replace the termed out Tom Labonge. So, Ms. Ramsey, Mayor Garcetti recently announced his resilience by design plan that would in part mandate retrofitting of some older buildings. The city council recently passed this motion, and according to Luis Reyes, press deputy for Councilman Gil Cedillo, they expect to have the language of the ordinance in February. However, there are already questions about funding the improvements. Given that there are a lot of older apartment buildings in Los Feliz and other areas of the district, what are you going to do to make Mayor Garcetti's plan financially feasible for building owners?
That is an excellent question, Max, and something I've spent a lot of time talking to people and gathering information about. You're right. We do have a lot of older apartment buildings in the 4th District. So what we need to do is help the property owners maintain those buildings and do the retrofit, not only for not only the seismic retrofit, but also the energy efficiency retrofits that will be better for the city as a whole. So what we need to do is partner with lenders, possibly create a revolving fund in the city so that the property owners can do the maintenance and repairs that they need to do, and then repay them, and the fund would keep replenishing itself that way. They do that in San Francisco, and it's been very successful. But I'm committed to helping the smaller multifamily apartment building owners. Now, 75% of them are mom-and-pop businesses. They're small businesses, and I'm a fighter for small businesses in the 4th District. So I'm going to help them find ways to help them fund the retrofits that they need to do make their buildings safer and sustainable long-term.
And when
unfortunately, the system we have now inadvertently incentivizes the owners of some of the old properties to just sell them for parking lots. And we need that housing. So we have to partner with the small business, essentially small business owners of these small buildings to keep them providing housing.
And in terms of, you said you wanted to help the building owners, does that mean encouraging private sector involvement, matching them up with private sector donors or lenders, and create this public-private partnership to assist these people? Or what do you mean specifically by helping?
As I said, either working with with lenders to see if we can get low interest rate loans for them so that we can preserve the housing stock, or create a revolving fund in the city so that they can do the retrofits that we want them to do, and not only for seismic, but also for energy efficiency. And then they can pay it back, and then someone else can borrow it. So it would be targeted specifically to the smaller apartment building owners.
And who puts the initial capital in that quote-unquote revolving fund?
Well, we have to figure that out. You know, either there are a lot of different ways that we can fund that, and that mechanism is something that I would have to work to figure out. I mean, we could either do it through a small bond measure. That's what they did in San Francisco, possibly through other fees. So we have to figure out where that funding comes from, possibly from another level of government, state or federal government.
Have you gauged interest from both public and private options, or public and private funders, to see if they're interested in partaking in this plan?
Well, this is something that I know other cities have been successful in doing. So I have not spoken to funders about it yet.
Okay. And what are you going to do to make sure the renters do not have to pay a disproportionate amount of the costs?
Well, that's why I want to set up the revolving fund and work with the private lenders so that the money doesn't go to the renters through a pass-through.
And if for some reason the renters aren't protected in the motions, in the language that the city attorney brings back from these two motions that were put forth, would you go about authoring a third motion that explicitly protects the renters?
Absolutely. I mean, that is the reason to go to the private lenders or set up a revolving fund. Thank you for clarifying. I failed to say that. But the thing is, we want to protect the renters from the additional cost of the retrofit.
And how would going to private lenders how would that at all affect the renters? Because in my mind, I think of going to private lenders, you're going to have an interest rate of some form or another, and I can just increase the rent in order to get that to pay the interest payment.
Well, other cities have been successful in getting private lenders to offer very low interest loans.
Okay, and moving on now to another topic because we're running short on time. Two related issues of citywide importance are street services and sidewalks. They are very important to the Valley, too. Some areas do not even have any of the latter. If you are elected, what are you going to do to improve streets?
Great question, Max. What my plan is to, if we're going to repave a street, let's fix all of it. Let's fix the water pipes and the sewage pipes underneath that are also 100 years old. So we don't come into a neighborhood, fix a street for the first time in 100 years, and then have to come back a year later and tear it up to fix the water pipes underneath. Nothing irritates people more. So my plan is to do a holistic approach, fix our water infrastructure at the same time that we're fixing our streets and sidewalks. And we'll add bike lanes as well at the same time so that we get the green street of the future now.
And what's your idea, or how do you plan on getting funding to replace the lines underneath the street as well as fixing the street?
Well, we can achieve an economy of scale by doing it all at once because the departments can work together to make these upgrades at one time. It will take a while, and eventually we may have to go to the voters and seek a bond measure. But we have to prove to them first that we can operate in a very fiscally responsible way. And, you know, repairing a street and coming back a year later and tearing it up again to fix the water pipes does not demonstrate fiscal responsibility.
But the DWP says they don't have money to increase their, the servicing of the pipes to a faster scale.
Right. Yes, exactly. During the 20th century, the city allowed developers to just build out the city neighborhood by neighborhood and then deed over the streets and the infrastructure to the city. But they didn't put money away in a maintenance fund to fund these things long-term. So we are having to deal now with long-term neglect of maintenance. That's all there is to it. So yes, the DWP says that, and yes, the Bureau of Street Services says that. But if they work together and pool their resources, we can achieve an economy of scale.
Do you know that for a fact?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that, and thank you very much for joining me in the hot seat today, Ms. Ramsey. It was a pleasure. And to those of you listening, thank you for allowing me to join you in your homes. It is great to be back. The Hot Seat After Hours starts right now. You can email the Hot Seat inbox at thehotseatwithmaxschwartz@gmail.com, or you can tweet me at MaxSchwartzTV. You can subscribe to the Hot Seat newsletter by clicking on the link on our page. Go to annenbergradio.org/podcast and click on the link underneath the Hot Seat's description and enter your email address. Thank you for listening. I hope you will join me next time when I interview Council District 4 candidate David Rue.